My next guest is on the line. He is Adar Weintraub. He's an advocate for Israeli-Palestinian peace and founder of the Grateful Giraffes. Adar, thanks for talking to us on Chai FM this afternoon.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Adar, I was looking at your name thinking there's something very, very familiar about it. And then it all came back to me. The fact that I have seen in the past a whole lot of webinars and podcast type broadcasts that you have done in the past, very brave discussions dealing with very brave issues. I'm talking about years ago. That's correct, am I not?
Yeah, I imagine you're referring to the live streams I've been doing for quite some time now, where I'll bring on Israelis and Palestinians for discussions and debates. Yeah, I'm still doing that. I'm still doing that once or twice a week, actually.
I thought that's where I could locate you, and I realized that was why your name was so familiar to me. What I am just thinking, given that you've said that, is there the bandwidth for those kind of messages within the Israeli public right now?
So that's a great question, and the honest answer is not so much, but hopefully now that the hostages have been released, we all get to, you know, finally exhale, start to heal from the trauma of the past 2 years. I think now more than ever is the time for peace, because it's the only way to ensure that our future doesn't involve more such violence. So it's tough. You know, our people don't have hope. Both the Palestinian people, both our people, we have lost hope. We don't believe there's a solution, and it's very hard to empower people to act if you don't think there's a solution. But if not now, then when, you know? So we need to start having these conversations and taking bold action.
No, it is interesting because I've been pretty much glued to streaming Israeli Channel 12 news for the past 3 days, really. The sites that I've seen, I mean, let's be honest, they brought tears to my eyes, and pretty much anybody who has been watching. But what I did notice, it concentrated solely and exclusively on the Israeli story. I saw nothing. And believe me, I don't know even know where I stand upon this. Not like I'm advocating that they should have, but I saw nothing of the Palestinian prisoner relief. I'm not drawing an equivalence. I just found it interesting. Because if we're talking about this as being a point in time where we're going to start looking at things differently and maybe building bridges to peace, that doesn't seem to be happening yet.
Yeah, I mean, there's not all too much focus on the Palestinians and what they're going through. It's really much, I think it's not so unusual, you know, when you're in conflict with the people, obviously you care about your own and not others, but sure, we do need to have a shift, because right now we're in a situation where Israel controls 5 million non-Jews living between the river and the sea. They're neither equal nor sovereign. And this is just not a sustainable situation. And, you know, the Israeli public, because it's hard for us to see what the solution is. We're kind of apathetic. We just don't see a solution. So we're living our lives. And then the status quo continues as is, but it's status quo that is unsustainable. It's immoral and will always lead to more rounds of violence. So you're right at, you know, what you observed on the news is very much reflective of Israeli society where it is now. And we do need bold leadership to start pulling us in a direction towards peace. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like we have that leadership now. We are going to go to elections at some point in the next year. Do I have high hopes we'll have some revolutionary come, you know, replace Netanyahu? No, but I think some change would probably be good. And I don't want to leave this on a pessimistic note. So, you know, we're a traumatized people, we're in conflict, so it's hard for us to see the other. But I think that often after conflict, there is an awakening and a shift in how people see things, and people are yearning for peace. So it's not that the people don't want it. And this is true about Palestinians as well. The Palestinians want peace, Israelis want peace. Sure, we have a different terms of peace, like what that looks like, but we do want peace. It's all about getting back to the negotiating table, both of us making some compromises and finding that way forward. It's definitely possible. It's just going to take the will of our leaders and the people to get there.
I listen to you, and with every fiber of my being, I want to believe that what you say is true, and yet I'm just not there. You know, I look at October the 7th and I think, this wasn't a fight or a battle for a Palestinian state. It was back to 1948. It was for the destruction of the Jewish state. I'm not sure that the conditions have been met in order to enable that kind of a conversation yet. I don't, you know, they talk about denazification, they talk about re-education. Perhaps there's a process that has to happen first before we get to that point that we can envision a better future. Or am I just being negative?
Well, I can understand where you're coming from, you know, because when we see the radicalization, we ask ourselves, how can we actually achieve peace with a radical population? But yeah. I want to just reflect on a mistake I think we made as a nation, which contributed to us being in this situation. So we do have Hamas, who's in control in Gaza, or in control of some parts of Gaza. But in the West Bank, Hamas is not in control. We have the Palestinian Authority. The Palestinian Authority in 1993 recognized Israel's right to exist. And for decades now, we've had security cooperation with them. The reason, one of the reasons we haven't had a third intifada is because the Palestinian Authority is helping us coordinate security in the West Bank. And how have they been rewarded for their moderate stance and their cooperation? More settlement expansion, more checkpoints. So what we've done the past two decades is not reward the moderate faction who's cooperating with us. We've imposed on them a consequence. And when Hamas was violent towards soldiers in Gaza, we withdrew from Gaza. So in the minds of Palestinians, what they see is, oh, violence works, compromise doesn't work. What we need to do is start to reward compromise. We need to say we have a partner. And the PA is far from perfect. They're not perfect, but they're definitely a moderate organization. They recognize our right to exist. That's huge. That's massive. We need to build on that. We need to be sitting with the negotiating table with them and show the Palestinian people compromise and a moderate position will get you sovereignty. It'll get you equality. This is the path forward. But we haven't done that. We impose a consequence on moderation, and then we pay the cost for that.
I hear you. I'm just thinking the man who leads the PA is one who is a Holocaust denialist, or at least in his academic theses that he has published has been proven to be one. Difficult to have a process of integrity with somebody who believes that.
I understand why you feel that way, but I think we need to stop looking for the perfect leader on the other side and work with what we have, because they do the same thing. How many of the Israeli leaders deny the Nakba and deny the suffering Palestinians have faced?
Fair enough.
Yeah,
Fair
it's
enough.
Disgusting that he questions the he doesn't deny the Holocaust, he just questions the numbers, which it's disgusting. I agree. I'm the grandson of a survivor, you know. So I take it personally, but we can't just sit and maintain the status quo and look for every excuse as to why not. We need to look for every excuse as to why yes, why we can. In fact, Israel was built on the notion, if you will it, it is no dream. You know, we're a nation built on this dream of this idealist vision. We need to continue to work down that path. But right now, we keep looking for every reason why not, why not, why not. And the status quo, it's a force of it radicalizes the Palestinians, it's oppressive towards them, and it's a status quo that fuels radicalization and in turn violence. We can't keep living like this. We need to make drastic change, and we need to start saying why yes, not why no.
So Adar, having seen all the devastation that has been wrought upon Gaza for whatever reason, does that make peace further away or closer? A real piece.
It's a great question. I think it really all comes down to what's next. So on one hand, the Gazan people are deeply traumatized, and I think it's generally traumatized people are radical and have all sorts of other issues that make them uncompromising. But I'm in a sense counter what I just said, because we've seen that support for a two-state solution in Gaza today is over 50%.
Really?
And support for Hamas, as of the last few polls, it was over 50%. And support for Hamas is low double-digit, high single-digit.
Interesting.
So there has been, and I have friends in Gaza, and they tell me, they're like, look, our government is radical. Most people here will accept most solutions. We just want change. We don't want this situation anymore. We want to change the status quo. We'll take two states. I do hear this from a lot of Palestinians on the ground. we just need to create a we need to give people something to believe in, a vision forward. Like, if there could be a clear vision that through cooperation and without violence, you can have a beautiful life, but without cooperation and with violence, your life will be shit. Like, if we could create that clear contrast and give people a very obvious path forward, a nonviolent path forward, people will take that path. But right now, it's unclear what that path looks like. Like, what can Palestinians do? What can the average Palestinian, the average Muhammad living in Hebron, what could he do to actually achieve peace? Nothing. He lives his life. He waits at a checkpoint just to visit his family. He's subject to home searches. He's put in humiliating circumstances. That guy and his family and his whole town and all the Palestinians need to know that there is a path that they can take to improve their lives. But it's very unclear what it is, because again, they say when we're violent, our city gets destroyed, and when we compromise, there's just settlement expansion. They see absolutely no way to achieve their goals. It leads to despair. Despair also leads to violence.
And the counter to that, and I remember this because I was in Israel at the time, was the Oslo Accords brought in such an incredible period of hope, bar none. I mean, the left was strong. Peace was around the corner and about to break out. And then the Second Intifada happened, and there was the death of the Israeli left. It just ceased to exist. And I think we're pretty much in that space still today.
Yeah. That was the beginning of the death of the Israel left, and then the failures of the Gaza disengagement continued to kill the left, and then October 7th was just the end of it. But all this shows us, as much as this can contribute to our despair, looking at the shift in public opinion in Israeli society, and even looking at shift in public opinion in Palestinian society from year to year, decade to decade, shows us something very consistent. That public opinion changes dependent on the situation on the ground. It shows that people respond to their environment. The right, the left, and I say this thankfully, people's beliefs are not as deep-rooted as we think they are. If you change one's environment, if you give them hope, if you give them something to believe in, public opinion will change. We see this happening from year to year. So we need to keep that in mind. People change if the situation changes. And just to really speak to the failures of Oslo, there will always be some members of Palestinian society, as well as now some members of Israeli society, that are going to reject compromise. They're going to reject peace. So, and this is a hard pill to swallow, but taking the path to peace is going to come with violence. It's going to come with people rejecting that path to peace and trying to disrupt it through violence. That's what the Second Intifada was. They did not want Oslo to happen, so they said, we're going to disrupt it. So we need to accept that if we maintain the status quo, there will be violence, and if we take radical change towards peace, there will also be violence. This sucks, right? That there will be some amount of violence in our future no matter what. But taking the path to peace and dealing with violence that comes on the path to peace is much better than the violence that will come from maintaining the status quo, because on the other side of the status quo is just more of the same. It's not peace. So I'm not going to try to sell some vision that just start negotiating and all our problems will be solved. Unfortunately, we have radical members in society that are going to try to disrupt that. Again, the same way the Second Intifada, or the same way Rabin was assassinated, these are radicals trying to disrupt the peace process. They still exist in society. We'll need to deal with them, but they shouldn't stop us from moving down that path.
Hadar, we're going to leave it there this afternoon. That will not be the last time we talk. Thanks for your time this afternoon.